Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I want to talk about Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. What's the name of that book, by the way, that we just that was written about 5 days in memorial?
It is called
5 days in memorial.
I think 5 days in memorial, yeah.
Which is the name of the hospital. Yeah. And we're going to make that available to you on the post that you can. We're talking about euthanasia, where they, I believe it was 20 patients that they injected with massive amounts of morphine.
Wow.
To be able to, some other drug, whatever it was. And they just stopped breathing. They died there.
5 days.
And one of the doctors, the article states that.
Yes, one of the articles says that this is what they felt they had to do because they were going to die anyway.
Basically. In 5 days, the humanity of man went from, how can we get, can we take your temperature to we're going to have to off you?
Mm.
And then it made 5 days.
Oh, wow.
It's like, give it a week. Give it a week, you know, kind of dance around a little bit. I'm still okay. I'm all right, you know. And one guy was, you know, overweight, but he was young.
Start making noise. They're gonna noise, jump around, throw your body around. My goodness. It's sad.
I know. It really is. Anyway, you can find out about that 5 days of memorial on one of the related articles to what we just talked about Obamacare and what's happening with the Chilean candidate running for president, doing things God's way. And what they're trying to do is you're thinking, well, how are these young people gonna come onto this government healthcare and buy into this? Why are they going to pay for older people? Well, their goal is to eliminate, no longer prolong the life of,
right,
reportedly, the older folks. And somebody goes, that's right, but you have to understand, the subject, that statement, the definition of older folks is different to everyone.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was 10, everybody was older.
That's right.
When I was 20, you know, people were still older.
It could be you now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And, yeah, give me the Michael Jackson juice. No, the right. I'm fading. Actually, they did. When I went through surgery, they gave me that stuff.
Really?
They sure did. They said, count the from 100 to 1. I went, whoa. It was amazing. Next thing you know, it was like, cut, slice, dice. Anyway, so I guess I just woke up differently. Yeah. I woke up differently.
Singing.
I want to talk about Isaiah, standing firm in our faith. Think about this, standing firm. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. This is what the Lord says in the latter part of that verse. He says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. That's so important because so many people are trying to find something they can stand on. Maybe I'll get a degree. You know, maybe I'll get this job. Maybe I'll marry that person. Maybe I'll have kids. Maybe I'll just get a house. Maybe I'll do this. And they find out, it's like, are you really trying to, that's what your faith is in that? And he says very specifically, if you stand firm, if you do not stand firm, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, the latter part, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. And God has assured Judah that this threat in this particular scripture that he's talking about, this threat of attack, was not going to be successful against Judah. He explained this to them. If they stood firm in their faith, their enemies, he would deal with their enemies. Hmm. I was reading just recently in The Torch and the Sword, the prophetic vision given to Rick Joyner, and I encourage you to get it. But this is what he says in part of this. He says, I long for the days that when believers can sit on the side of a mountain and just be relaxed and talk while they knowing a vast army is coming against them, knowing confidently that the army surrounds them, the heavenly host is greater than the army that's coming against them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Let's think about it. If you actually believe this to be true, then you're protected.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people think they're faking it till they make it. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? Man, what are you doing? You need to wake up. It's either he's God or he's not, and he is. Either he can or he can't, and he can. Either you can add to God or you can't add to God. Why are you adding that stuff to God? You can't add to him. You're confusing folks. And so he's telling them, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. But he says he's guaranteeing Judah here, as he's talking about it, that I'll deliver you from your enemies if you'll just stand firm. People are so, I mean, I used to think, man, I mean, obviously people are going to hang around. I mean, that's what they're going to do. But it's amazing. 1 year in someone's life, what they will actually do is like, you don't know if they're going to be there by the end of that 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is your faith, was that your faith that long? It wasn't even 12 months long. I mean, think about
it. Right.
It wasn't 6 months long. It wasn't 90 days long. I'm with you forever, Pastor Greg. I mean, all these things we heard over the years, like, where are you at? Where are you at? The thing is that you got to stand firm. Mm. It's not some intellectual decision. It's faith and confidence and surety in the fact that if God said it, that settles it, and I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to stand on it. And you think about this. Yet there was this, it was a requirement by them for this delivery to take place for them to be able to stand firm. They were going to be delivered if they stand firm. If they didn't stand firm, they wouldn't be delivered. But it was faith in God. That was the requirement. So often, the promises of God are presumed to be given to us just because. Like Isaiah was explaining to them, listen, to Judah, you got to stand on your faith to get it. It's not going to be some just pennies from heaven. It's not going to be deliverance from heaven. Mm-hmm. You got to believe that I'll deliver you. You have to actually see more than the cloud the size of a man's fist. You got to see the heavenly hosts that surround you. Mm-hmm. You got to understand God created everything and he holds everything together and he's watching us. The heavenly host is watching us and he's looking for somebody who will believe him. John G. Lake said, God will step over 1 million people to walk with one man who will believe him or a woman. Think about it. All you have to do is begin to be this person who stands firm in God. Find out what he says. Step outside the 81% that's not even picking up their Bible called Christians. Step past the 19% or 17% who are reading and not doing anything and move into the 3% to increase that percentage and be a doer of what God says. And faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. It's being confident in God. I mean, you're not reading a book of lies. You're reading a book of truth.
Hmm.
You're reading a book of truth. It's like, come on. What are we doing here? I don't need to hear four more points. If you're going to try to preach out of a book you don't even believe, if you're going to talk from that pulpit about a God that you don't believe in, you're going to come down and speak fear into my ear instead of speak faith into my heart. I mean, come on, it's time for us to rise up and begin to believe God. Listen, God is God. It's time for us to believe that he is and that he can deliver us. He's looking for folks who will just stand firm, stay in your position of authority. My goodness, 12 months. Hang on for 12 months and watch what God does with that. God's not a man. You have to understand, he's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind. He doesn't speak and then not act. He doesn't promise and not fulfill. Everything he says he's going to do, he's going to do. But you got to stand firm in it. He's not going to push his blessing on you. He's not going to rain down pennies from heaven on you. He's going to wait for the door or the gateway, the floodgates of heaven to open over you because you opened them with your faith that you believed. And you no longer robbed him of the tithes and offerings. But you said, you know what? Here I am, God. I believe you. And he said, the floodgates of heaven opens up and pours you out a blessing that you can't even contain. But standing firm does not mean you can be double-minded. There's so much double-mindedness. Like Jiminy, double-minded crickets. It's crazy. It's like, do you hear yourself? You're going, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes. I'm afraid, I'm not afraid. I'm afraid, I'm not afraid. I'm fear. I'm delivered from, not delivered from fear. Over and over and over and over again. Listen, a double-minded man gets nothing from God. You get nothing from God. The reason why is because you have to have faith. You have to stand firm in your faith. And he's trustworthy. He is trustworthy. We're talking about right now, I'm sharing with you, what the Lord shared with me about standing firm, period. Standing firm in your faith. It's such a rare thing. It's a rare thing for people to stick, stay, and stand. It just doesn't happen. There's a lot of reasons people give, and with today's technology, people think they're still with you, but they're just liking you on Facebook, or they're connecting with you, or whatever. It's like, you're not here.
Hmm.
You're not here. And it required things like, I don't know, letting go of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in Isaiah chapter 7, the latter part of verse 9, he says, this is what the Lord is saying to this prophet. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you won't stand firm at all. And so what's happening is so many folks, and right now there's so many Americans, Christian Americans, that are standing on the American nation. They're standing on the flag and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which is cool, but it's not. You shouldn't be standing on it. That's a byproduct of standing in your faith in God. That came after that. You ever had a ten? I mean, I don't know if we even have those anymore, where the shoestrings get all knotted up. You remember that as a kid, and they would get all tied up and knotted up. I know that you probably have somebody tying your shoes now, but the
and polishing them.
And polishing them.
I don't bother. I just slip them on.
Slip them on. And but it was overwhelming as a kid because you're thinking, oh great, I had these things are in a knot, they're all tied up. And so you had to untie this thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now imagine the church in America being so tied up, they're in a knot. We're in this knot. And America is not the church. Mm-hmm. And the church is not America, but there is a church in America, the mm-hmm. body of Christ in America. But we have the flag so wrapped around the cross that you almost can't tell the difference between the two. When you're talking about them, I mean, they sell you on the country and give you Jesus.
Yeah.
As the Baptist man stated on, we shared what he said on VFN radio, the church has been selling people on the country, on American freedom, and just giving people Jesus. Mm. And that's not our role. We should not be a political viewpoint in the context of that. We should be, you know, for the values of as a believer and values of our nation and founding fathers, and be for all the Americans that are here. And so right now we're in a knot. We're just in a knot. And it's going to be difficult if you don't understand when I talk about standing firm. Some people are standing on America. They're standing on the founding fathers. They're standing on the Constitution. They're standing on the Declaration of Independence. They're standing on the flag. That's important, but understand that's a byproduct of men who stood on God. It's a byproduct of these pilgrims who were standing on God and got forced out of where they were to be able to, had to come to America to be able to begin a journey that led us to a nation, one nation under God. Mm-hmm. And standing firm in faith is what I'm talking about. So we have to, so we're not talking about standing. It's going to be, you can't stand firm. If you stand firm on America, it's so shaky right now. I mean, God's deciding or watching what we decide what we're going to do. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then you'll have America. If you don't, you won't. And it won't be the same America. And so you don't want to stand on that. You want to stand. Your faith has to be standing on God. And it's so cool when you get your feet off of a boat that doesn't float. When you get your feet off something that's unstable that might... some false doctrines and business concept or whatever, and you put your feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, you can be stable. Stuff can go and stuff can come, but you can have faith, and it's standing firm on faith. If you build your house on anything else, it's like building your house on the sand is what he talked about. Mm-hmm. And he said, when the storms come in, it's going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's not if it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. It can't stand up because you built it on the sand. But if you build your house on the rock, which is Jesus, then the same storms hit it, but you actually stand. And by the way, these are people that not only hear what the Word of God says, they do what the Word of God is. They practice what they're hearing. They are an abider. They are a doer of the Word of God. They're a player, as we talked about recently. And so standing firm, that's what we're talking about. And if right now, if you want to be more stable and less need for nerve controlling medications and, you know, medicating yourself, replace that with faith in God. I mean, think about it. Replace that with faith in God. And we have to have faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And a double-minded man gets nothing from God, as we're talking about. I don't care what religion tells you. If you're saying yes and no in the same conversation, if everything that you say is right, but you start with a but in the middle of that, you just nullified everything you just said. Understand that conjunction nullified your faith. So it doesn't matter how pretty it was. When you said but in the middle of that, what you say next is what you truly believe. Mm. Everything That's on right. the right side of the but is what you believe. And any conjunction, listen to what people say, because they'll say what's right, but then they'll add a conjunction and say, but this is what I truly believe. This is what I operate from. Well, a double-minded man gets nothing from God. So standing firm, you think about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he talks about it. He says, be strong in the Lord. It's time for us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not being strong in your own strength, but just being strong in God. I mean, think about it. I mean, think about some kid and he has this big, bulky NFL strong football player, you know, that he's just, nobody messes with him because his dad's huge. And so this kid has this confidence and he can go around saying, I got confidence. My dad's going to, if anybody messes with us, he's going to, you know, that confidence he would have in his father. So some kids had that confidence. Their father's like, oh, son. No, don't. You're going to get us in trouble. But God's bigger than that football player. He's bigger than everybody. He can deal with this. Having that strong confidence in God, we can have that confidence like God's going to deal with this situation. I mean, you can't have sin in your heart and sin in your life, and which is cheating on Jesus, by the way. It's committing adultery with God, against God, when you're having friendship with the things in the world. But understand, you can repent. He forgives you, and understand that you're restored to that. Then he tells us if we were strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not our might, we can stand firm in that. And standing firm in that, he says, then he tells us, this is how you stand firm. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. Understand that you can't, I mean, if you're sitting out there in a war, for example, and you don't have a tank, you don't have armor on, you don't have protection on, it's just a matter of time where you're going to be taken down because you're not using wisdom. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're standing there knowing that, hey, I can take a bigger blow now, I can go through some tougher things because I'm in this tank, you know, I'm in this trench or I'm in this armor, then things can hit me, but it's going to deal with what's hitting me. And you had different armor for different things. As a law enforcement officer, I had a bulletproof vest on, but I also had a rifle plate in the front of my vest, which was solid steel that would stop a rifle. And the other vest would stop some other things. But things could get through it. They had vest-piercing, you know, bullets and all that. So there was different material, different armor that you could put on that would protect you from these different things. And understand the shootout that just happened recently in America. An officer was shot, but his vest kept him from dying. He did not hurt him. Mm. Crazy man barricaded himself, started firing shots, tons of shots fired. Officer gets shot. He got shot in his vest. He got shot in his armor, and he survived.
Wow.
But he got shot. But if they would have missed his armor, he'd be dead, potentially. And so understand this. When we talk about having faith, the reason why you might not be able to stand firm is because you don't have your armor on. Having faith in what? Having faith in God, but having faith in the revelation of this armor that God has given us. And he tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. And he says, you're going to have to stand in your faith. If you stand in your faith, then you're going to survive this thing. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. I mean, you think about that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers, against authorities, in the heavenly realm. He's saying, listen, it is not people. It's not people. So understanding that it's not people helps you understand that, okay, I need to focus on God and put my faith in him and what he says, because he'll deal with the spiritual enemy. And these folks who are being used right now may be my best friend. They may be one to the Lord. Because that's what, you know, I was one from the hordes of hell, and they'll be one from the hordes of hell if I'm able to focus on the true adversary, which is spiritual, not physical. And then he goes on to say, he says in verse 13 in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, therefore, he said, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand when the days of evil comes. So first of all, you got to put on the armor so you can stand. Secondly, you have to be able to put on the armor so you can stand the days when the days of evil come, and they do come. So understand that you can actually stand, understanding the revelation that comes with each of these parts of the armor. Understanding it's not an actual piece of armor, it's your faith in that reality that is on you if you have faith in that. So he says, if you do this, you will be able to stand your ground. I mean, we got to stand. So A lot of folks are just spiritually naked. They have no faith. They're double-minded. And the reason why they're terrified is because they're naked, spiritually speaking. And they can't stand because they don't have the revelation of the armor that I'm talking about that helps us stand. He says, when you do this, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything you could do to stand, I mean, you did the Tim Tebow thing. You worked hard as you can. You did everything you could do. I mean, your faith is made complete because it's accompanied with works. This is what he says. After you've done everything you can do, stand, then he says. Just stand. And that's what he's telling Judah right here. If you stand in your faith, if you stand in faith that I will do this, I will deliver you from your enemy. I'm going to tell you about this armor. This is so important because we can stand no matter what happens in the world. We can stand firm to the very end. And remember that when he's talking to Judah, and God was talking to Judah here about, listen, your enemy's coming in, yeah, but if you stand firm, I will deliver you. Because this is what he says in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, the latter part. He goes, if you do not stand firm in faith, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. And the only thing that keeps us standing firm is standing firm in our faith. And we talked about the elements. Then we can do that by understanding the revelation and wearing by faith the armor of God. And he begins to talk about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And the first thing he talks about in the armor of God, he says, with this particular armor, we'll talk about it. The first thing he talks about is the belt of truth. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what the news do with the news you know. I mean, that's why we're on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So many lies are being told. So many misnomers, so much false doctrine. We're like, let's just get into the Word of God. Let's find out. Let's see God's perspective. Let's find out the truth. And if you're walking around with beltless, you know, in your life, I mean, your drawers are hanging down. You know what I'm saying? You got to put a belt on. And what this belt does, it girds up your loins. It covers, I mean, if your gut is cringed all the time and you're walking around with dread and you're just got all this anxiousness going on in your gut, you know, and a lot of people do. They have ulcers and different kind of things going on because they're being eaten alive by worry and fear and anxiety. You need some truth. Everything's going to be okay. Our God heals. Our God delivers. You can trust him. Putting that belt of truth on is so important. I mean, I'm just offended when people who say they're deliverers of their ministers or Christians or whatever, and they come out and they just outright tell a lie. They just outright just, and they act like they're talking from Scripture. And it's like, Do you know what that's going to do to people? Do you understand? If I actually didn't know the Word of God, and you should check out everybody, especially us and everybody, You go find out what it says in the Bible. Check it out. But to understand, that will kill somebody because they're not going to have the belt of truth on their life. You got to have truth. You can't forego truth and then you're going to have anything else. The Word of God is truth. Jesus is truth. You got to have truth. Truth is such an element thing. Elementary thing, and you actually have to have it in the point of the first thing you have to have on is truth, because the rest of it makes no sense, because you can have the wrong perspective, which is the next part of your armor, which is the breastplate of righteousness. If you don't understand the truth about that, and you have a lie about understanding with the breastplate of righteousness, you may be going around in the deepest, darkest of sin, thumbing your finger at God, thinking that you're in right standing with God, because somebody didn't tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. The truth is, you don't have grace to sin. You have grace to obey. It's not, you can't openly be in adultery with the world and think you're in a great relationship with God. I mean, we're not saying you don't sin. We talked about all that already. Mm-hmm. But realize the truth came before understanding, because you have to understand it's a gift of righteousness that comes through God. You don't get it by works, but you get it because you give your life over to God and say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. You're the leader of my life. That's the truth. The truth is, there's no other way except through you, and you're the shepherd of my life. I hear your voice, and I follow none other. I am truly your disciple because I've denied it all. I found out what you wanted me to do, what you wanted me to say, and that's what I'm doing. That is a person who's in right standing with God. And then he says, not only with the breastplate of righteousness, think about it, you got the belt girding up your loins, you have this breastplate of righteousness, like I had that rifle plate when I was a deputy with a bulletproof vest, and you could do more. You were more confident in fights because knife fights and things would happen, and you're trying to arrest this particular man, but you don't realize any moment he could pull out a knife because you didn't know he had a knife, and he could stab you. Well, it would hit the plate. Mm-hmm. It would hit the vest. And so you had greater confidence that you could deal with this rough situation, because if they did try to shoot you or try to stab you, they wouldn't get you any vital areas. You can get through this thing. Mm-hmm. And so when you have this belt of truth on, and you have this breastplate of righteousness on, you can get out of your prison and you can go into darkness and tell them about Jesus. You're not terrified about losing your salvation. You're not terrified about people telling you a lie and confusing you because you know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally he says, well, not finally, but the next thing he talks about is the gospel of peace. The good news of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross of Christ, with it we have salvation. Understand that it's peace. We have peace with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the violence that hit Jesus, the violence doesn't hit our life. Because of what God, how he served justice on Jesus, that justice will not be served on us if we cry out for righteousness and ask for justice and say, dear God, you know, cover me in the blood. Forgive me for my sins. I want to be in right standing with you. Listen, the church needs some peace. How many more fingernails are you going to bite off? How many more toenails are you going to bite off? How many more pills are you going to take? How many things you're going to, how much more food are you going to eat? Because you're just terrified. You have no more peace. And you're trying to comfort everything that you do. You're trying to run to more food, more addictions, more to everything. You know what? You need to understand this gospel of peace. You put your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere you go, you got peace is what that means. I mean, you got truth, you got this righteousness, and you got peace. And next he talks about the shield of faith. The shield of faith is so important because remember, we have to stand in faith. We have to stand in faith before God. And he says, with the shield of faith, you can annihilate, extinguish, do away with every fiery dart, every lie the enemy tells. So many people are scared that the enemy's going to lie. Says, that's what he does. This is his native language. If you know the truth and you can shield off those lies by just saying, no, I don't think so. You're not, because somebody says something or some speaks something, you know, oh my goodness, somebody said something. It's like, where's your faith, brother? Mm-hmm. Where's your faith, sister? Where's your faith? Do you constantly have this fear of your kids, the fear of your relationship, the fear of your nation, the fear of, are you saying, let's just do what God says right here? The shield of faith, with it, you can annihilate, extinguish, do away with all the fiery darts, all the lies, all the schemes of the devil, of the evil, when he talks about. Talking about standing firm here. If you don't stand firm in your faith, he says, you will not stand firm at all. And this is how you stand firm. Then he talks about, this is the only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. You think about that, which is the Word of God. Why do you think that we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Why do you think we're on Christian television network broadcasting around the world and we're on radio around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? With this truth, it's because it's a sword. It's doing warfare in the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. It's like big 55 caliber guns sitting on a huge battleship, spiritually speaking, firing at the devil and saying, no, I don't think so. That's wrong, but God loves you, and that's of the devil. It's the sword of the Spirit. You have to have the Word of God. That's why we say 81% are not reading the Word of God. We're saying, listen, 81% are not reading the Word of God according to George Bonner. They're not even picking up their Bibles, which means they have no weapons. They have no offensive weapons. That's why we say pick it up. And finally, he says pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray on all occasions. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Understanding that it'll edify you and lift you up. It is so important to understand this because without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him. And faith is not a good idea, church. Faith is the only idea. It's confidence. And somebody says, well, what faith are you? There's only one faith. It's the faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Talking about the unity of the faith. There's only one faith, and it's the faith in Jesus Christ, period.
Mm.
It's just time for us to stand firm. And this is what he says. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. Stand, church. It's time to stand. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the daily radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the daily radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the daily radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.